All right, so in my Kindle, Acts chapter 21 is on page 251. What do you guys have in the paperback?
Same
251. All right, here we go. NTI Acts chapter 21. Your reason, which really means the same thing as your reasoning or your way of thinking. Your reason, as we have already discussed, is important on this path with me. It is a straight path with the opportunity for detours. All detours equal delay. Questioning your reason will help to reduce delay. Whenever you are tempted to do anything, question whether it is temptation or prompt. Temptation comes from fear, the ego, and the desire for self-will. A prompt is given by the Holy Spirit through your willingness to listen to Him. So, again, we've talked about this before. We talked about this when we were at Acts 19. But what Acts 19 did was it taught us how to recognize the ego in our own mind and how to recognize spirit in our own mind and try to recognize which was the motivation behind, you know, the things we were doing, you could say. Because really, whatever we do, doing is just an extension of a thought that we're believing. It's nothing more than that. So try and notice whether it was ego behind what you were doing or Holy Spirit behind what you were doing. And then, you know, what Acts 19 said, once you notice, then go ahead and do whatever you want, which was kind of interesting because it wasn't telling you that you had to drop the ego and do what Holy Spirit said. It wanted you to just notice that you were choosing to follow ego. So notice that you were taking this action out of fear, or notice you were taking this action out of guilt, or notice you don't even know why you're taking this action. You just feel to. And that would most likely be Spirit moving you. And so this is saying the same thing. It's saying, you know, again, it's saying try to notice if what you're feeling to do is what they're calling a temptation. This is probably because of what was said in the Bible at this point. Remember, we're interpreting the Bible. But if it's a temptation, that's really the ego. And if it's a prompt, that is Spirit. And just try to notice the difference between the two. Notice why you're doing what you're doing. And it's interesting, we just had this conversation again about, we were talking here in the room about wanting our house a certain way, wanting cups in the cupboard a certain way, or towels folded a certain way. And so one thing that stood out to me was in sentence 6, where it says, temptation comes from fear, the ego, and the desire for self-will. You know, and again, wanting our home our way could definitely be perceived as just the desire for self-will, just something that simple. Verses 7 to 16. The will of the Holy Spirit is healing. He has no other will or purpose within the world. When you join with His purpose, your only purpose is healing, and no other purpose shall distract you from it. Trust in the Holy Spirit and His will. All that He offers you is all that you ask. It is your true will that leads you to listen to Him. It is your true will that knows your way. Listen to Him and follow Him. Your true will is the way of rejoicing. So the Holy Spirit, lots of people, you know, perceive the Holy Spirit as complicated to hear. Actually, the Holy Spirit is very, very easy to hear. The primary reason people perceive the Holy Spirit as complicated to hear is they're really expecting more than they're going to get from the Holy Spirit. You know, for example, if they are in a difficult relationship, you know, they're expecting the Holy Spirit to tell them how to fix the relationship so that it's no longer a difficult relationship. And they can't seem to find that answer no matter what. And so they can't hear Holy Spirit in their mind. Holy Spirit does not necessarily tell you how to fix a relationship. That may be the effect of what Holy Spirit tells you. A relationship could, you know, become better. But Holy Spirit is really there just to help you heal your own mind. That's Holy Spirit's purpose. Holy Spirit's purpose is to help you find and let go of the obstacles to love's presence in you. So the more common things that Holy Spirit says, and I'm sure everybody hears this or feels this or intuits this, the more common things that Holy Spirit says to someone is like, take a breath, walk away, you know, don't say that, just relax, it's not that important. You know, I mean, these are the kinds of things, and everybody, you know, you don't even have to be on the spiritual path, everybody gets that kind of guidance all of the time. You know, just before they scream at their boss and quit their job, there's something in them saying, just hold on, keep it, you know, keep it in, hold on a second. You know, there's something in there that's guiding them not to follow the egoic action. There's something in them that's guiding them to pause, to wait, to rest, to take a breath, to look at their point of view differently. That's the Holy Spirit. And everybody hears it all of the time. It's just that the ego is so strong, the ego is so loud, you know, that people tend to listen to the ego and blow off the Holy Spirit. You know, we call it Holy Spirit in the Course community and the NTI community, but I recently, in the movie The Revolver, they call it conscience. And I think sometimes people have the idea of guilt associated with conscience, so maybe that word doesn't work real well. But one thing I liked about the word conscience is that it really implied that it was something, just something in you that knows what's in your best interest. And it's just trying to guide you not to be stupid. You know, not to say something stupid, do something stupid, right? It's your own inner wisdom. So the Holy Spirit is actually very, very easy to hear, and two-year-olds hear it. I mean, two-year-olds know. They you can tell that they know. So it's not difficult. Verses 17 to 26. I will lead you through right reason to what is right for you to do within the world. Everything that I ask you to do is not for the world, but for the healing of God's Son. I will ask you to do things that make sense within the laws and reason of the world. When I ask you to do these things, do them, trusting they are right for the healing of all. I will also ask you to do things that do not make sense within the laws and reason of the world. When I ask you, do these things, trusting they are used in love for the healing of all. So what this is really saying is that, you know, we are taught to think a certain way in our society. Everybody's taught in their society to think a certain way. And if you totally depend on the way you were taught to think, you will miss intuitive prompts that are coming from your wisdom or Holy Spirit or conscience or whatever word you want to put on it. You're going to miss them. So what this is really saying is, don't be as dependent on what you were taught as what I'm saying. Now, lots of times what I'm going to say is in alignment with what you were taught. You know, like I am probably going to guide you in most cases to stop at a stop sign, for example. You know, it's reasonable, and you're going to receive that kind of guidance. But occasionally, there may be an intuition that is guiding you to go against what you were always taught. Trust that too. Don't let what you were taught, the way you were taught to think, be the rule. Let your intuition or your wisdom be the rule. And I know I've in the past had good examples of times when I've been guided to break rules. But right this second, again, it's leaving me. Does anybody else? My mind isn't working tonight. Does anybody else have an example of when they know they've received guidance?
I've been in a really good paying job.
Yeah, we've both done that, haven't we? We've left really good paying jobs on guidance. Yeah. And sometimes you break the rules of friendship. Sometimes you break... Well, I guess I kind of broke the rules of parenthood as I learned them. You know, I was taught that when a child behaves a certain way, that you, as a parent, react a certain way. And Spirit had me, you know, if Jasmine would be disrespectful to me, for example, my upbringing would say, I need to address her on that and tell her, you don't disrespect me, I'm the mother, and blah, 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 blah. Spirit had me just ignore it. Just ignore it. You know, so that was kind of breaking a rule that I was taught. So, you know, you have to learn that the Spirit sometimes is going to guide in accordance with the laws, because they make sense, the laws and the rules, but sometimes Spirit isn't. And so you have to be able to trust your intuition or your inner wisdom more than the way you were taught to think by your school, your family, your culture, right? My experience with spirit is that it's neither a complete rebel. Whenever somebody says spirit's not the law and they're like going against all the laws, that's ego. Nor is spirit a complete follower, following every rule to a T. Spirit's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I think another really good example of that is something that I struggle with and I've heard you talk about before, and that's like returning phone calls.
Yeah.
Or emails.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what people do.
That's what good people do. Yeah, yeah, there's all kinds of things. And really, I do find spirit to be in the middle. And there's probably a couple reasons spirit's in the middle. One is because, again, you know, it may be a special situation where you need to be able to do something different. But also, spirit is undoing us. That's the primary reason. Spirit is undoing who we think we are. And a part of who we think we are is all of those rules that we have learned.
Yeah, I usually find that it's, I get that, it's usually laws of behavior amongst peers and others. It's,
yeah.
People expect me to be this way. This is what I'll usually do if somebody,
right.
I'll usually do what they ask or whatever. It's usually in circumstances with other people.
Right. All right, so verses 27 to 36. Now let's talk about what you must do in all things, for your actions in the world serve only one purpose, and that is the healing of the mind. Your actions are not your purpose, but the outward expression of a means. The means to the purpose is listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit within the mind. As we have stated many times, the mind that you know is split. It seems to be split between illusion and truth. But what is split between real and unreal has no split at all. For how can the unreal engender a split of that which is truth and holy without division? That's very similar to A Course in Miracles talking about love and fear, but then saying love has no opposite. Right? So it's very similar, saying you seem to have a split mind, but there can't actually be a split mind because one is real and one is unreal. So in your mind, which is not split at all, there is the illusion of splitness. And it is the illusion that must be healed by bringing that which is untrue to that which is truth. To enable this healing, you must do one thing. You must be willing to experience the untrue and give it over to truth. Given to truth, the untrue cannot stand, for it has no foundation to stand on. So we're going to continue, but again, Spirit started this section by saying, now let's talk about what you must do in all things, for your actions in the world serve only one purpose, and that is the healing of the mind, right? It says your actions are not your purpose, but the outward expression of means. And now he's saying you must be willing to experience untruth and give it over to truth. This is really addressing the very natural tendency of the ego to try to quickly deny something. Very quickly deny something. So, you know, if I looked over at Dan and I had some, you know, judgment pop up in my mind, to try to very quickly, you know, in my own mind, deny that judgment. Just very quickly pretend like it didn't happen. Instead, what Spirit is saying is it's much more helpful to experience the judgment. And what we learn as we go further through NTI, the way you experience the judgment is actually different than believing the judgment. In fact, if I just believe the judgment of Dan, then I'm just thinking, you know, whatever I thought. When I experience the judgment, I'm still feeling, you know, maybe there's a contraction in my chest, you know. I'm in an observer role. I'm watching it. It's a step back from fully believing it. And one reason why it's so willing to be able to experience the untrue is because if you aren't willing to experience the untrue, what happens is you deny it. So you have to be willing to feel that judgment, to notice that judgment. But again, it happens from a spiritual observing place. And the spiritual observing place, when you're experiencing it from there, that actually is a healing eye. And if you observe yourself judging, even if you seem to judge multiple times a day, but you watch it and you're not afraid of it, and you watch it and you're not afraid of it, eventually that actually heals judging. It's, you know, again, it's miraculous. You can't explain why, you know, it just does. So you have to be willing to experience your judgments. You know, you have to be willing to experience your fears, but experience them and believe them are not the same thing. It's not saying you have to be willing to believe your judgments. You have to be willing to experience them, to let them come on up and look at them and say, yep, there it is. And one thing again, when I see that, but I gently know, and by gently I mean I'm not judging myself, I gently know I don't really want to be judging. That also seems to be helpful. I see that judgment, I feel the judgment, I feel like, you know, I don't like him right now because of whatever, but this isn't what I want. So I'm not denying it, but I am also not believing it, and I'm recognizing it's not what I truly want. And that awareness is just helpful. So, starting with sentence 11. This is why you must be willing to look at the thoughts in your mind. You cannot fear them, for to fear them is to make them seem real, and you will not escape that which you make real through choice. That is why I have told you that the self-will desires the world. It is so you would be willing not to. Do not desire it by making it real. Let it go in your mind as purposeless. By denying purpose within the world, you choose to share purpose with me. Our one purpose is the healing of one will, which cannot be split and is not. So when Spirit is talking about denying the purpose of the world here, what Spirit is really doing is changing our focus. When your focus is purely believing in the world, what's really going on inside of you is that you think if everything in the world would happen just the way you want it to happen, you could be happy. And so at some level, you're trying to control everything. Even when you're judging Dan, what you're really thinking is if Dan would just change XXX, you know, I could be happy. If Dave would just blah, 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 I could, if Tom would just, you know, and if everybody would just, you know, I could be happy. And that's being focused on the world. So instead of being focused on the world and believing all of those thoughts, you turn your focus inward. And you're watching your thoughts, you're observing your thoughts, you're even feeling the contraction that your thoughts bring up. But the focus is turned this way instead of this way. You know, you're no longer thinking that Dan has to change whatever, or Tom has to change whatever. You're just knowing that your mind is telling you that Dan has to change whatever, or that Tom has to change whatever. And as a result of you having at least some interest in that thought, you're feeling a contraction. You see, you're observing what's going on. And so you're turned inward. And there's no way, you know, if you're really doing this right, there's no way you're going to end up walking up to Dan and saying, hey, Dan, can you please take off your sweater? I can't stand it when you wear sweaters inside, you know. You're not really going to do that. Your action is not going to follow through if you're really inwardly focused. Because the only way you're going to walk up to Dan and tell him to take off his sweater is if you're still more outward than inward. You'll see it. You'll see the thought. If you judge sweaters inside, you'll see it. You might feel it, but you're watching this way, and you're just going to sit here and see it and feel it, and you're going to let Dan sit there with the sweater on. Right? Sentence 20. Choose illusion or truth, as that is the only choice given you. To choose illusion is to deny the truth and delay the recognition of what is. So if I do sit here and I continue, I'm not just watching the judgment, I'm believing the judgments. For whatever reason, I think you're not supposed to wear sweaters indoors, and I'm upset at Dan, and finally I say, you know, Dan, take off your sweater. That action is really just an expression of the fact that I chose to believe my judgments. I chose illusion. That's all it is. But that's why, you know, if you're really choosing to just watch it, You never say anything to Dan. And this is where sometimes people get confused, because people think, I'm supposed to change my behavior. It's wrong of me to judge Dan, so I'm not supposed to tell him to take off that damn sweater. I hate that sweater. Why is he wearing it? But I'm not supposed to tell him. And they're not really inward focused. They're still outward focused, right? But because of a belief they're supposed to change their behavior, they're now stifling the action, and it just kind of really creates even a bigger conflict. So we're not talking about changing the action. So it said here the action is just the result of the means, right? If you're listening to ego, you're going to follow ego. What we're doing is we're talking about looking at the mind, realizing the mind is judging, I don't want to judge, I feel this contraction because I do somewhat believe the judgment, I see all of this, I observe all of this, and I'm so inward focused on my observing that the action just never happens. Because when I'm inward focused on my observing, I'm listening to spirit and not ego. And so the ego action, there's no extension of that action, because I never really actually listen to ego. I think sometimes people think even if you see the judgment, you're listening to ego, but that's not true. Spirit teaches you to see the judgment. Spirit teaches you to observe the judgment. But spirit teaches you to remain focused inward. Just watching. So, peace be to you in your choice for right reason. The choice for trust and healing. So that is the end of chapter 21. It's up to you guys. 22 is short. We could probably finish it in 10 minutes, or we could stop now. What do you want to do? Keep going? Okay. So Acts chapter 22. It starts off saying the third stage on the path with me. We've talked about two stages so far. The first stage was the loosening of ideas in the mind. And then the second stage was beginning to let them go. And what we just talked about, by the way, is the letting go process. And lots of people wonder what the letting go process is. The letting go process is that inward observing. It's called letting go because you aren't believing the thought. You're watching it. You may still experience it. You may still feel it. But it's a watching, and you're letting it go because you're not grasping the thought and following it. You're watching it until it goes, where you let it go. You're watching it until it goes, right? So the first process was loosening of thoughts. The second process is the letting them go, which is really the same as just watching them with observance, being aware of them, but not believing them, not getting caught up in the world. So the third stage on the path with me is the stage of guidance or service. This is the time when the merging will occur. For through your willingness, I will willingly work my will through you. Before this stage, two things must occur, the loosening and the letting go. Throughout this stage, the third stage, two things must occur, continued loosening and letting go. For loosening and letting go are the path to healing. They must continue until you know you are healed. So even if you're at the path of service, this doesn't mean that you've graduated from loosening or letting go. It continues. But, well, the next paragraph is going to say what I was going to say, so I'll just read it. When you reach the third phase of the path, enough loosening and letting go has been accomplished to enable you to be willing to see. Sight is acceptance and surrender to me, so it is willingness to put self-will aside. So what has really happened here is that you have become less of who you were. You've become less of who you were. You no longer have the full package of beliefs and ways of thinking. You know, because you've let enough of it go. And so what's happened now is that you are at least what we could call partially empty. And that partial emptiness that you have is enough for spirit to now flow through you. And so that's why it's called the path of service. You're no longer fully the individual that you were. You're not completely disappeared from that individual, but you're movable now, right? You're movable by spirit. And so you're available to be in spirit service in whatever way you're going to be used. During the third stage with me, you will know my presence, for your faith will open your eyes to me. You will know you are led and cared for, and you will surrender more self-will to me. So what this is talking about here is when you enter the third stage, again, a certain amount of your individuality has disappeared, and you have emptiness in you that's being used. But as you begin to experience spirit moving you, and you begin to experience the effects of that, you surrender more, which means you let go of the individual more. And so, again, we've talked about this before. It's kind of through, it's a positive way of learning. You're not learning through punishment. You're learning through reward. You're learning through seeing how Spirit uses you, learning how seeing how Spirit takes care of you, learning how everything comes together, and you just have less and less need for the individual that you thought you were, less and less need for control, because you really begin to learn from your own experience that you weren't as effective as an individual as you are as emptiness. You weren't as happy as an individual as you are as emptiness. You weren't as, things didn't go as easily, you weren't as relaxed, and so you're kind of learning from the contrast. And so you continue to let go of the individual even more willingly now with this experience. This is how the merging occurs. It is through your own willingness to surrender to me. As you see more evidence that you have surrendered to peace, you will willingly give more to me. As self-will is placed aside as meaningless and undesired by you, the will that fills the space is your true will, which is also me. What seemed to be separate gradually becomes one until it is evident that separate never was. Your true will is me, only you chose not to see, and now that you see, you know. So in the beginning of this process, for many of us, we think of Holy Spirit as some other, you know. But what this is saying is as we begin to let go of more and more self-will, more and more individuality, and, you know, what we call Spirit is filling us and moving us, we really just come to see that as ourself, you know, because that's the truth. And so, you know, no longer do I say, you know, oh, Spirit said blah, blah, blah. I just speak, blah, blah, blah. You know, it just, because there's no more difference anymore. Question your reason. Look inside. The answer that is true is within you. Ask who you are and listen to know. The answer that is will come to you. So this last paragraph is again just encouraging two things. One, it's encouraging that to the best of our ability we practice discernment. You know, learn what is ego. And you know, at least in my case, it was really helpful to call it ego. Some people don't like to. But when I said it was ego, I was not saying it was me. You know, I'm saying ego is judging Dan. That's different than I can't stand sweaters inside. You know what I mean? And somehow that helped me to get into an observer role. So I want to discern what is ego and what is spirit at this phase. But eventually it's even what is ego and what is me. You know? That's where it comes to. But I want to discern ego and I want to see it as ego, because the more I discern it as ego and the more I see it as ego, the less I see it as me. The less it's me that can't stand sweaters inside, for example. You know? It's just ego, and I'm not ego. And so I start to distance myself from that false self.
I was just going to say, it's interesting because I have a completely opposite perspective.
Go ahead.
For me, it's got to be this false self.
Yeah.
And it's Tom. Because I have I'm right here. You know, it's not something, you know, I can observe it, I feel it. Tom experiences this judgment, you know, self-will.
Yes.
These false desires. And I can, then I got to look at that and say, that's false. this guy that I've lived with my whole life.
Right.
That's just not real.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. The question also comes up, what is ego? Because I don't think ego is defined one way.
Right, right. I think of ego as a temporary self, who's something, a false self that's interested in temporary victories, temporary
yes.
gains, just little victory here, and then I need another one.
And I see ego, I think it's the same thing. I see ego as, that which wants to define a very definite me. That's what ego is. It wants to define a very definite me. And there's so many things that go into defining who I am. My opinions, my preferences, but when you put it all together, boy, there's a me that is different than every other me that exists. So, yeah. But what it's not is like a devil. And some people still have that idea that the ego, even though we don't use the word devil, they still have that association, like the ego is somehow the devil, and I'm me. I'm Regina, and the ego is the devil. That's not true. Regina and the ego are the same thing. It's the false self. Yeah. Someone told me the other day, he said, I don't hear the ego anymore, I just hear my thinking. That is the ego.
Was he here before?
Well, before I think his thinking was more vicious. But, the viciousness can drop and the ego can still be very intact. Right.
Well, I kind of do the same thing as Tom. Kind of see it as a little self, a little S and a big self.
Yes.
But also, I need to see it and identify it as ego too. So I think I use both ways of doing it. Sometimes I even have to tell myself I am not ego. I'm still as dark as me when I really have to feel myself pull away from ego. So I can use both.
Yeah.
And I get from both ways of doing it.
Yeah, and again, I'll just emphasize, whatever is most helpful to everyone, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's what matters, and it doesn't all have to be done the same way. And of course, when we're studying NTI, we're clearly seeing what was most helpful to me. But the point, and everybody gets the point, is that, the false self, the ego, is not who we are, and the belief that it is who we are is hurting us.
I like the part where I said earlier about the purpose, that our purpose is to heal. I think that is another thing I'm going to latch on to. That my purpose is to heal myself, and healing myself, I can heal others. When I get bogged down and I think of the purpose of the world, I think I'm going to latch on to that.
Yeah. I've latched onto that one too. See, her and I were alike. All right, so we need an assignment. So what we looked at in really chapter 21 was talking about a couple of things. One, the first thing it talked about was being willing to feel for intuition or guidance or conscience or whatever you want to call it, instead of just following all the rules that we've learned, instead of following our learning. That's the first thing it talked about. The next thing it talked about was being willing to observe the illusion within ourselves, our illusory thoughts, like being willing to observe our judgments, being willing to just observe whatever's happening and not be afraid of it.
By observing, you mean experience the same thing.
Experience, right. Yeah. So don't be afraid to have a judgment cross your mind, for example. But watch it instead of, believing it. That's really the key. Watch it instead of believing it. And then chapter 22 was really talking about learning to follow intuition in a service type of way, allowing yourself to be moved by spirit, and more and more and more letting go of who you were. That would be tough as an assignment. I'd say the easiest assignment is the observing Or the experiencing, yeah. Not being afraid to observe or experience whatever comes up this week, yeah. But trying not to believe it. But don't be afraid of whatever shows up in your mind.
I've had a few of those experiences, not as many as I would like, but that I catch myself and don't say anything but observe it, and then, like you said, keep looking at the inside, and then before I know it, it's all gone.
Exactly.
And then I feel so good, and I say, I wish I could do that more often, but I have caught myself being able to do that just recently.
Yeah, good. That's very good. All right, so I'll stop the recorder, and we can have a few minutes of silence, and then we'll see if there's anything y'all have to say about this.